You are listening to Silent Majority's Pirate Podcast, episode number 155, coming to you live from San Francisco, California, with your host, Scrap Hunt.
If you've been successful, you don't need to get there on your own. That's just real, man. Somebody else made that happen.
What's right, what's good, and what's decent. We must resist this technocratic, disgusting, soul-reaching mindfuck that we're being fed every day. Your propaganda won't work. We're smarter than that. We still have our souls. We still have our free will. We still have a mind. It has been completely twisted and fluoridated and vaccinated out of existence. Not yet. And that's why everyone listening, you and me and everyone around you, has to stand up to this 1984 demonic mind fucking oppression. It's so easy to defeat these people. It's easy to take our cities and our towns and our lives and our whole humanity and existence back. Everything that you do every day needs to be a constant fight and battle. And if you don't want to accept the battle and the challenge, then lay down right now and die so the rest of us can step over your cowardly, withered up bodies and stand up for what's moral and decent and right. We are the answer to 1984, and the answer is the spirit of 1776. Long live Alex Jones. Yeah!
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Silent Majority's Pirate Podcast. This is episode number 155, and this is the second part of the two-part series that we're doing here on life extension, transhumanism, and absolutely insane shit that you probably have never ever heard about, and you're gonna hear right now. Last episode we were talking about transhumanism and the fact that a lot of the world's big McGillicuddy Jones, a lot of bankers and Rockefellers and Rothschilds and people like Bill Gates and, you know, all these giant, huge, multi-trillionaire psychotics actually believe that man and machine will mesh into one person or one being and become a greater species than the rest of us, and those people are called transhumanists, or H+. And why does that matter? What difference does that make if some crazy guy wants to talk about stuff like that? Blah, 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 blah. Well, it matters. It matters because those people rule our everyday lives. And the people that are in command of your everyday actions and what you think and how you think, the people who run all the the TV studios, the people that print your newspapers, that print your magazines, these people follow Ray Kurzweil and others who believe that, you know, humans and machines will mesh together and bring them, the people that are, you know, bringing you this false, fake, crap information, that there will mesh into another species, leaving us behind to wipe up their shit as they leave it on the streets for us. As a present, they're like, here, serf. Oh. Now, be like the Queen of England's groom of the stool and pick up my doo-doo. Yeah, fuck that. So, we're exposing them. And here on this show, I really like to talk about stuff that you probably don't know or may have never heard of. Not all of it's all political, but so much of our everyday life has to do with political endeavors that we can't ignore them. So, we're going to talk about, on this episode, life extension technologies. Things that exist right now, like this second, someone is using these technologies. Whatever, your grandma coughs harder than that. So these people are using these technologies right now to extend their life because they're shriveled up, ballless, gutless, dirty old men who have absolutely no soul, so they know when they die that they're going to hell and that they're so far gone they don't care. And the only thing that they have left in their pathetic lives is to cling on to their earthly trinkets and baubles and possessions and little tiny things. And oh, yes, I must keep all of my gold. I must keep my money and my things and my giant houses. Oh, God. If the serfs ever find out that we have this technology, our lives will be over. Anyway, so, life extension science is also known as anti-aging medicine or experimental genealogy and biomedical genealogy. Biomedical. I mean, just the word biomedical should send up a red flag, you know, huge flare into the sky. It's the study of slowing down or reversing the process of aging to extend both the maximum and average lifespan. Some researchers in this area and life extensionists or longevists who wish to achieve longer lives for themselves believe that current breakthroughs in tissue rejuvenation, stem cells, molecular repair, and organ placement, such as artificial organs or xenotransplantations, will eventually be able to have humans with indefinite lifespans through the complete rejuvenation of a healthy, youthful condition. So, yeah, basically, let's see. Let me get to a couple of fun ones. So, just a couple things, and I'm going to read you just a couple of little blurbs, but I know one thing before I get into this first diets and supplements section is actually what they call caloric restriction, or they believe that your body only needs a certain amount of calories every day to run optimally, and either under or over exerting that caloric intake also has to do with aging. So not only are these people shriveled up, ballless, gutless old man, but they are ninny, sissy calorie counters who look at the back of every package of every expensive piece of designer meat that they can stuff into their mouths. So, much life extension research focuses on nutrition and diets and supplements. Yeah, imagine that. So, these life extension people, do you think they take cold medicine or prescription pills, vaccines? Do you think they take antibiotics? Fuck no. So, what do these people take? I mean, what do these, you know, genius scientists, which they really are genius, I mean, how smart do you have to be to reverse the process of aging? What do these people do to reverse aging? Well, they take things like vitamin C, vitamin E, CoQ10, lipoic acid, carnosine, oh boy, this is a tough one for me, N-acetyl-lysine, oxytocin, insulin, human chorionic gonadotropin, or HCG, which actually I have taken, and man, does that stuff work. Erythropoietin, or EPO, resveratrol. resveratrol is actually what you would find in red wine, and why some doctors will tell you to drink small amounts of wine for your heart, because it actually, resveratrol, the enzyme, repairs tissue. It tends to stimulate organisms such as nematodes, and also selenium, zinc, magnesium, pretty much every vitamin that you can think of is right here on this list. So life extension people, what do they take every day? Do they take, you know, depression medication and all that shit? Fuck no, they take vitamins. And what is the media doing right now? Attacking vitamins. Codex Alimentarius. If you don't know what that is, it's a bill to try to ban vitamins. No joke. Ban vitamins. Yep. All right, moving on to the next part here. Let's see. What else is some of this life extension technology? Hormone treatment. Several anti-aging industries do hormone therapies. Of course, the American Medical Association openly condemns it, even though it's a Rockefeller Foundation-funded piece of shit. The American Medical Association, if they know they can cure aging and cancer and AIDS and everything else, which you can cure AIDS, actually, if you didn't know this, since we're on crazy medical technologies, with something called Tetrasil or Tetrasilver Tetroxide. Don't ask me exactly how it works, but it is molecular binding crystals that electrically shock the HIV virus, and it dies, and you don't have AIDS. Yep, it's totally true. Go look it up. It is a patent on the United States Patent and Trademark Office, if you look up Tetrasil or Tetrasilver Tetroxide. Totally true. Absolutely true, ladies and gentlemen. So, what else here besides hormone therapy is nanotechnology. This is particularly my favorite one. Future advances in nanomedicine could give rise to life extension, if they already fucking use it. Through the repair of many processes thought to be responsible for aging, Dr. K. Eric Drexler, one of the founders of nanotechnology, says that he proposed cellular repair machines, which I know better that they already have this, but here is the interesting part. He wrote about this in a book in 1986 called The Engines of Creation. So he wrote about nanotechnology operating within cells to repair molecules, or, you know, repair your cells in 1986. Also, as you remember, we talked about this guy, Ray Kurzweil, futurist and transhumanist, imagine that, stated in his book, The Singularity is Near, that he believes that the advanced medical nanorobotics could completely remedy the effects of aging by the year of 2030. That's not that far off. This is, what, 2012? So in less than 20 years, this guy thinks that nanotechnology will be able to completely remedy the effects of aging. Now, just kind of hang on those words, completely remedy the effects of aging, which a lot of the times when you're reading about life extension technology, they actually call aging a disease. They don't refer to it as something that happens in everyday life. You know, you're born, you're a little kid, you steal some candy, you poop your pants, you pick your nose and eat it in front of your fifth grade teacher, you get chicken pox, you know what I mean, you become a teenager, you smoke cigarettes, you drink beer, you go to punk rock shows, you become an old man, you watch lots of Matlock, you complain about, you know, onions on your hamburgers, I don't know, whatever old people complain about these days. You know, you complain about old people stuff, you get all shriveled up, your skin gets all crappy, and you kind of go back in time, and you start pooping your pants, and talking about space aliens, and you call everybody Timmy, and then you die. That seems to be the natural course of things. And, you know, with all honesty and poking fun at that, that's just kind of what happens. Like, that's aging, that's life. But these people, well, they don't want to do that because the only thing that they have to hold on to is all their little things that they've acquired in their lifetime. And they make a really good argument. Like, they try very, very hard, and they're super smart. Yeah, and these people are, like, beyond, you know, what's that plagiarist piece of crap? Why can't I think of his name? Einstein. Oh my god, dude. See what fluoride in your water does to you? Albert Einstein. Maybe that's another show that I'll do about how he's a fake piece of junk. Anyway, smarter, supposedly, than that guy. And, you know, these people are creating indefinite life because they know that once their life ends, they have nothing else to hold on to. But these people who are crazy intelligent, I'll give them credit for that, they're definitely smart, think that they could end the disease of aging by 2030. That's not that far away. So, just as a real quick little FYI to everyone listening, any technology that you hear about now, probably 20 years old. 10 if you're lucky, if you're really researching. There's shit that we can't even fathom that they have. So, nanotechnology, talking about it in 1986. Have you ever heard of technology? Or nanotechnology, you know? Cloning and body part replacement. Seems retarded and science fiction-ish, but nope, totally happening. Therapeutic cloning and stem cell research provides a way to generate cells, body parts, or even entire bodies, generally referred to as reproductive cloning. The bodies would be genetically identical to a prospective patient. Recently, the U.S. Department of Defense, imagine that, the DOD, initiated a program to research the possibility. It's not possible they've been doing it. Anyway, Department of Defense initiated a program to perform growing human body parts on mice and other complex biological structures, such as mammalian joints and limbs. Dog and primate brain transplantations grown from patients' own cells have proven to be a viable treatment for aging disease. Dog and primate brain transplantations. In 2006, yes, in the year 2006, the implantation of bioengineered bladder grown from a patient's own cells was successfully transplanted into patients. That's interesting, right? So you're like, oh man, my bladder hurts. Or hey, I'm a drunk and I've been drinking, you know, wine for 50 years. I need a new kidney. I just grow you a new one in a bucket. Yay! So if you're an old, decrepit piece of shit, disgusting old man like David Rockefeller and his heart starts to go, they're like, yeah, no problem, Dave. We'll just grow you a new one. The use of human stem cells, particularly embryonic stem cells, is controversial. Ooh. Opponents' objections generally are based on the interpretations of religious or ethical considerations. I mean, you know, no big deal. You're taking cells, manipulating them, and growing body parts in a bucket so you can replace them on people. Right on. Now, see, if you didn't have all this fucking bullshit in the world, like, you know, cellular technologies that radiate your body, microwavable food, vaccines. You probably wouldn't need to grow a bladder in a bucket. Here's another one of my very favorite things, is cryonics. But just to touch on the nanotechnology, it's not in my show notes, but I just want to just touch on it real quick. They do have nanomachines that they currently use. Nanomachines are, I mean, if you don't know what nanotechnology is, let me just explain this real quick. Nanotechnology is a robot, a completely bio-engineered robot that is made out of cells. So it is basically a molecule that is 1 nanometer big. If you don't know what a nanometer is, that is 1 billion times smaller than a strand of your hair. And so they built this tiny little protein, and then they build another little protein, and they put these proteins together in something called a nanotube. And they make a structure out of it that performs a specific function. One thing that I know that they have done is to clean artery walls with nanotechnology. So they create these little tiny robots that basically just like scrapes or eats or dissolves the plaque off of the inside of your arteries. You can't see them without an electron scanning microscope. You just ingest them, they inject them. You could even do it sublingually if you want to. You could absorb them through your skin. You touch them, you know what I mean? And they could go into your body. And then you piss them and shit them out, and you're totally better. No open heart surgery, no putting, veins from your legs into your heart. Blase, blase. And, that's what they're doing right now. So, nanotechnology is basically just little machines that they make out of proteins 1 nanometer big, put them all together so they do one particular task, and it can repair any organ, anything in your body, repair tissues, eat cancer, whatever that they want it to do. So moving on, like I said before, cryonics. Cryonics is pretty fucking out there, and not this show, because I don't want this show to go on too long, but the beginning of next show, I'm going to play you a little clip from a company called Alcor. If I can find it, it is Are You a Deathist? And it's this fucking crazy propaganda video made by Alcor. About people that... Whoa. I think some semi-truck just ran into a car outside. Awesome. Probably somebody trying to turn right on red without looking. I hope they died. And maybe they could be rushed to Alcor. That's right, because what does Alcor do? Well, you sign up for their service, and this company is on standby. And when you die, they rush to you and chop off your head and freeze your shit in a cooling tank of liquid nitrogen at absolute zero. Or if they can save your body, they will. And they pump it full of this fluid stuff they call vitrification, which is technically to keep your cells and your tissue and stuff from cracking at such a low temperature. So, cryonics. It is storing the body at low temperatures after death. It provides an ambulance into the future, in which advanced medical technologies may allow for resurrection and repair. Cryogenic temperatures will minimize changes in biological tissue for many years, giving the medical community ample time to cure all diseases, rejuvenate the age, and repair any damage that is caused by cryopreservation processes. Many cryonicists do not believe that legal death is real death, because stoppage of heartbeats and breathing the usual medical criteria for legal death occur before biological death of cells and tissues of the body. Even at room temperature, cells may take hours to die and days to decompose, although neurological damage occurs within 4 to 6 minutes of cardiac arrest. The irreversible neurodegenerative process does not manifest for hours. Cryonicists state that rapid cooling and cardiopulmonary support applied immediately after certification of death can preserve cells and tissues for long-term preservation. People, particularly children, have survived up to an hour without heartbeat after submersions in ice water. In one case, a full recovery was reported after 45 minutes underwater. 45 minutes! Somebody was underwater, drowned, and they brought him back to life. To facilitate rapid preservation of cells and tissues, cryonic standby teams are available to wait by the bedside of the patients who are to be cryopreserved. To apply cooling and cardiopulmonary support as soon as possible after the declaration of death. So, if you decide, hey, I love all my trinkets and baubles and don't want to die, well, then you can have them stick you in a bucket of liquid nitrogen in a tank in a room in Arizona. And that's pretty much where you're going to spend the next 125 years until they bring you back and you're going to fight Wesley Snipes. You know, if you've never seen Demolition Man. That's what they do in Demolition Man. Where did they get the idea from? Do you think that the movie got the idea from cryogenics? Or do you think the scientists saw Demolition Man? They're like, hey, we should try that. That's a good idea. I want to come back and fight Wesley Snipes. Anyway, genetic modification. Gene therapy is in which artificial genes are integrated with an organism to replace mutated or otherwise defective or deficient genes. This has been proposed as a strategy to prevent aging. Targeting catalyst to the mitochondria resulted in a 20% lifespan increase in transgenetic mice. Pretty sure that's supposed to be transgenic, not transgenetic. Whatever. An improved performance therapeutically in the mice. Also, fooling genes. Richard Dawkins describes an approach of life extension that involves fooling genes into thinking the body is young. His inspiration for this... I gotta stop jerking off and sleeping more. The basic idea is that our bodies are composed of genes that activate throughout our lifetimes. That's right, your genes turn on and off. And that's what a lot of... autoimmune diseases are, is when your body turns on genes that aren't supposed to be on, like Crohn's disease, for example. Presumably, these genes are activated by environmental factors. This is known as epigenetics. And the changes caused by these genes activating can be lethal. It is statistically certain that we can process more lethal genes that activate later in life than early in life. Therefore, to extend life, we should be able to prevent these genes from switching on, and we should be able to do so by identifying changes in the internal chemical environment of that body to take place during aging, and by stimulating the superficial chemical properties of a young body. Right. So, basically, they're just going to mess with your DNA. They're going to stick you in a bucket of frozen water. They're going to chop off your head and preserve your brain. Actually, there's a really good book about the Corporation of Alcor called Frozen. And it was, I believe it was a CEO that became a whistleblower. And it was just like, these people are fucking nuts. It was actually really cool. I'm sure you could find it on YouTube if you just type in Frozen Alcor. It's pretty cool. Maybe next episode I'll just play a bunch of clips. I think actually next episode... Next episode, I think I will be doing things on deathists. That's right. Deathists are people that don't want to live forever. And in this crazy fucking video that Alcor put out, hopefully I can still find it, they call us deathists because we believe in dying. And it's weird and bizarre to not want to preserve life forevermore. Why wouldn't you want to live in a place where people can fuck each other up the ass and cut off your dick and split it open like a banana and be like, oh, check this out, now my name is Christina instead of Chris, and I'm gonna take these growth hormones to grow big boobies, and I'm totally normal. Hee-hee, look at me. Yeah. Hi. My name's Steven, and I'm gonna go shopping for leggings and have a beard at the same time. I wonder if I could, like, dye my beard to match my leggings. That would be really cute. Yeah, and we're the crazy people, right, for not wanting to continue on in a world that has been absolutely bombarded by everything that is evil and bad and horrible and just dumb. yeah. I don't know, guys. You know, I love doing this show, and I don't want to keep it all political. But one thing before the end of this show, because that's pretty much going to wrap it up. I don't want to bore you guys, you know. It's just a lot of me talking, but I do want to encourage you to go and check stuff out for yourself. This show, I don't want it to be a babysitting show. I want you to hear keywords, hear small things, hear little tidbits of what I talk about, and then I want you to go look. I want you to go check this stuff out. I want you to go look up, you know, Stephen Hawking's or Aubrey de Grey. And learn about what they're talking about. Watch them watch them saying these things out of their own mouth, and discover that, you know, there's people that really think that you should be able to live forever. I mean, Nick Bostrom, look up that name. Aubrey de Grey. God, there's so many. Ray Kurzweil. If you've never ever read anything by him, he's a fucking evil genius. He's crazy as shit. I mean, he's crazier than two motherfuckers. I don't care which two you pick. But he's definitely an intelligent person. So go out there and look this stuff up for yourself. Find out. Instead of watching TV, instead of, you know, playing some retarded, you know, what do you call that, Call of Duty video game. Which, I love video games, don't get me wrong, but Call of Duty is kind of garbage. Look this stuff up. Find out something real. Find out what's going on. Like, do something with your mind other than vegetate it. You know, this is interesting. We're talking about extending life indefinitely. You know, we're not talking about how to grow proper tomatoes. Check it out. Look at it. Before we go, I also want to tell you that you can support the show if you like it. If you don't, well, fuck you. But if you do, you can go to cafepress.com/SM, as in silent majority, shit. cafepress.com/SM shit. And you can get t-shirts and buttons and stickers and tampon holders and whatever else that you may need. And it supports the show. Yay! That would be awesome. But if you don't, don't feel bad. It's okay. The show will always be free. Yay. Which is also good. Free is good. Download it. Share it to your friends. Post it on your Facebook. Or if you want to write in and just talk about whatever you want to, or have me address an issue, or maybe just make fun of your boss live on the air, I will do that too. I'll even call your place of work and be like,
hey, I'm looking for George the Fat Dumbass Manager, bluggity bluggity blah.
Because that would be funny. Anyway, if you want to do that, write in to silentmajority@mindless.com. That's silentmajority@mindless.com. You can check out our Twitter. That's right, we do have one of those New World Order tracking tool accounts. That is at SM Punks. That's Silent Majority, SM Punks, P-U-N-X. And that's it. So until next time, keep your pants dry. Next episode will be really cool. So please, next week, tune in on this free, awesome iTunes or, you know, RSS stream feed. Silent Majority's Pirate Podcast, signing out. Fuck living forever.